the Endpoint Side. Jeremy in Kentucky here on Republic Broadcasting Network. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash the donate, send the fundage. Make your check or money order payable to RBN, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Call in the debit or credit card at 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. And for every $100 that you donate, you can put your name in the hat to win a book from John Statmiller's library. The next drawing will be next weekend, as RBN's taken this weekend off for Thanksgiving. And get your donation in there. Put your name in for a book if you don't win it. Next week, you're still in the drawing for the week after. You're always in the drawing if you put your $100 in. This is your Wednesday night broadcast, Spiritual Health and Wellness, where I focus on biblical studies and usually play a sermon clip. I preach to you people because I don't want you people to go to hell. Going to have a sermon clip from Anderson tonight on the headship of man. The headship of man over the woman and the roles of the genders. Let's roll that clip, Mike. It'll take us to the break, and we'll be back on the other side for analysis.
Men, Colossians chapter 3, the part that I want to focus on there is beginning in verse number 18. The Bible reads, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them." And if you would flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the title of my sermon this evening is "The Head of the Woman is the Man." The head of the woman is the man. The Bible tells us there in Colossians chapter 3 that wives are to submit themselves unto their own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. What does that mean to submit to her husband? It means that he is the boss. He is the leader. He makes the rules, and she is to get under his authority and follow his leadership. And then the Bible conversely tells the husbands to love their wives and be not bitter against them. So to be loving and forgiving is what God asks of the husband, and the wife is told to submit to her husband. Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. The Bible reads in verse number 1, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." That's a very clear scripture that is talking about authority, right? When it says that the head of every man is Christ, the Bible's saying that we as men are to obey Christ, submit to Christ, follow Christ's authority. He's the boss. Pretty easy to understand, right? But then it also says that the head of the woman is the man, right? So in a marriage, in a household, the mom is not in charge. Dad is in charge, right? Wife is not in charge. Husband is in charge. The man is, at the end of the day, the head of that household, meaning that he is the leader, that he is the ruler, that he is in charge. But then it goes on to say this. It says, the head of Christ is God. Now, lest someone somehow think that a woman submitting to her husband is degrading for her, or that it somehow is demoting her to a lower status, think about the fact that the head of Christ is God. Is Christ of a lower status than God? Nope. Absolutely not. The Bible makes it clear that Christ is equal to God. In the Gospel of John, it talks about how the Jews wanted to stone Jesus because he had made himself equal with God, right? The Bible said that Jesus was in the beginning with God, and he was God. In Philippians chapter 2, the Bible says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." And so the Lord Jesus Christ did not count it robbery to be equal with God. What does that mean? It means that he wasn't stealing anything by being equal with God because that status already belonged to him. It wasn't robbery to be equal with God because he was equal to God. And all throughout the Bible, of course, we are taught that Christ is equal to God. But here's the thing about that is that there is still a chain of command where the Son submits to the Father. And what's funny is that today, in our day, people are doing all kinds of mental gymnastics and verbal acrobatics in order to try to get around these clear teachings of Scripture. And then I guess it shouldn't really boggle my mind when people are trying to twist this up about the Trinity as well. You know, they get this twisted up when it comes to marriage between man and woman, and then they turn around and get it twisted up with the Trinity, and now you have people saying that there's no chain of command in the Trinity. That there's no authority structure there. That the Son is not submitted to the Father. What in the world? I mean, how could you get any clearer than this scripture in 1 Corinthians 11 that just spells it out by saying the head of the woman is the man, you know, the head of every man is Christ, the head of Christ is God. Nothing could be clearer, nothing could be simpler than to see this authority in place. Flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And some people would say, well, you know, that's just, you know, when Christ came to this earth and he, you know, was incarnate as a human being dwelling among us, you know, that's when he was subject unto the Father. But it's not like he's always subject unto the Father. Well, that's funny because when 1 Corinthians chapter 11 is being written, Christ has already lived and died and been buried and risen again and ascended and has been seated up at the right hand of the Father for decades. And the Apostle Paul didn't say the head of Christ was God. It says the head of Christ is God, showing that that is still the situation. And in fact, even at the very end of the world, look what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 24. Then cometh the end, verse 24, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, for he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, watch this. This is talking about way in the future, after the millennium. It says, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. According to 1 Corinthians 15, 28, even way off in the future, after everything's over, after the millennium, after the great white throne of judgment, when all is said and done in the new heaven and the new earth, the Bible says that Jesus Christ himself will be subject unto God the Father. But I'm supposed to believe that somehow that was just some kind of a little temporary thing while he came to this earth. No, it's false. And let me tell you why, because it is not degrading or a downgrade or any kind of a statement about Christ's equality with God for him to be subject to the Father. In fact, being subject unto the Father is part of Jesus Christ's greatness. Okay, but today we live in a world where people think that, oh, submitting to authority makes you weak. Or it makes you inferior, it makes you not as good, or you're not as equal, or whatever. That's garbage, my friend, because Jesus Christ is equal to the Father, but yet he submitted to him on this earth. He was submitting to him when the Apostle Paul wrote 1 Corinthians, and 1,000 years from now, Christ is still going to be subject to God the Father without anything being lost of his deity, without anything being lost of his greatness or of his equality with God. And so people today talk about men and women being equal. Amen. You know, men and women are of equal value. Men are not more important than women. Women are not more important than men. Men are not more valuable than women. They don't have more value. They're not better. They're not superior. They're not greater in any way. Men and women are equal. But guess what? There is still a chain of command in the home. There is still an authority structure, and wives are commanded to be subject unto their husbands. Just as Christ is subject to God, just as the man is subject to Christ. You know, am I supposed to obey Jesus Christ as I go through this life? Or am I supposed to just do whatever I want? I'm supposed to be subject unto Christ, right? Okay, well, you know what? If you're going to sit there and say that wives don't have to obey their husbands and that wives can just go through life and do what they want to do and be independent, then by the same token, we could say, well, I don't have to obey Jesus Christ. I can just be independent and just go through life and do whatever I want. It's basically the same mentality. You're denying the same clear scripture. If I'm supposed to obey Jesus, then wives are supposed to obey their husbands. And if wives don't have to obey their husbands, then none of us have to obey Jesus. What are we even doing here tonight? Let's go eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow we die. But this is the kind of garbage that is being taught in churches today, because they don't want to stand up for what the Word of God has always taught, but they want to be on some trendy, modern, feminist program that says, well, you know, man and woman is a partnership. I just saw something on Facebook posted by supposed Christians, people claiming to be Christians, and all the comments are supposedly by Christians saying, you know, the husband is not to, you know, rule over his wife, but, you know, they're supposed to be partners. You know, let the faggots be partners. I don't have a freaking partner. You think I have a partner? I have a wife. Preach it. Amen. Oh, this is my partner. That's what it sounds. That's what I think when I hear that word. You faggot. All right, go to 1 Peter chapter 3. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3, and let's see what we find in the Word of God, not what you and your friends and the media and the school system, not what they think is right. What saith the Lord is what we care about in this church. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. It says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they may also without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves. Watch this. Being in subjection unto their own husbands. And then you got these people with their little comment, their little picture on Facebook saying, oh, you got to teach your sons to cook and to clean and teach your daughters to go out and make a living. You know, that way they're not in a situation where the husband's ruling over the wife, but rather, you know, they could be in a partnership. Right? But what does the Bible say? It says, even as Sarah also, verse 6, obeyed Abraham, calling him partner? Is that what she did? She wake up every morning and say, howdy, partner? No, she didn't. Because let me tell you something. That is an ungodly, worldly, sinful philosophy, and it's not found in the Bible. If you're going to be a Christian, you know what it means to be a Christian? It means you're following Christ. And if you believe that the man should follow Christ, then you better believe that the woman should follow her husband. Because the head of Christ, or the head of Christ is God, the head of the man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man. That's what the chain is. If you break the chain's only as strong as its weakest link. When you start breaking links in that chain, well, then all authority goes out the window. If we're going to start twisting up the Trinity and saying that Christ isn't subject to the Father, well, then next thing we're going to be saying that women aren't subject to their husbands, and the next thing you know, men aren't even subject to Christ, and we just all do whatever we want. And that's pretty much where we're at today in America for most people. It says, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Okay? Now, what does this mean, calling him Lord? Well, it's a very difficult passage. Very difficult. You know, and I mean, I don't even have time to walk you through the years of Bible college and seminary that it would take to understand the nuances of this cryptic, difficult passage. Now, actually, it's pretty easy. Okay, the word Lord means master, boss. That's what it means. And this actually is found in Genesis. If you go back to Genesis, when the angel comes and speaks to them about having Isaac, she's saying within herself, she's saying to herself, you know, how am I going to have a baby being old? My Lord being old also. So it's not even that she's verbally calling him Lord, like she's not walking up to him and saying, yes, Lord. She literally in her heart, in her mind calls him Lord. in the book of Genesis. The only reason we know that is because the narrator tells us in Genesis. And by the way, you say, well, that's not as good. No, that's better. You know, I'd much rather have my wife calling me Lord in her heart, because that's what she actually thinks. That's what she actually believes. That's her actual mentality, as opposed to just saying something outwardly. Because, you know, once you call someone by a certain name, after a while, that just kind of becomes their name, and it just kind of rolls off the tongue, and it might not even mean anything. I mean, she's literally thinking of him that way in her heart, because she understands that God has created men and women with different roles, and there's an authority structure there. And again, this is not degrading to women unless you're a feminist, unless you don't care what the Bible says, unless you don't believe that the head of Christ is God. You know, if you reject that and you have one of these watered down, weak sauce views on the Trinity, where it's like, well, I believe in the Trinity, but person doesn't really mean person, and there's not three centers of consciousness, there's not three persons, there's no chain of command, there's no difference in mind, no difference in will, no three seats of consciousness. It's like, how is that the Trinity then? You know, but hey, if you actually believe in the Trinity and actually believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and actually believe that they're all equally God, that the Son is God, the Father is God, the Holy Spirit is God, but that the Son is still subject to the Father, then you can understand how there's absolutely nothing degrading at all, nothing taking away from your equality at all, by understanding that in the family, the woman is supposed to obey her husband. Now, this makes sense. Obviously, there has to be one leader. If you have two leaders, there's going to be all kinds of fighting and strife and friction. Oh, and I'm sure you got it all figured out how your partnership can work, because you think it's all going to be just so wonderful and everybody's submitting to everybody, and we all. But that's not the way real life works. Those of us who actually have been married, those of us who actually have lived on this earth for a little while, those of us who are actually adults, you know what? We understand and realize that at the end of the day, there has to be someone who's in charge.
All right, so that's the conclusion of the clip on Pastor Anderson's sermon, The Head of Woman is Man. And again, when we say that men and women are equal scripturally, that goes to Galatians 3. This is in Christ. This is a spiritual equality in that male-female, different ethnicities can come to Christ equally and get forgiveness. Galatians 3 really plays this out. So I'll get into that on the other side of the break, and we'll open up the phone lines, 512-248-8252. We'll get into this gender situation and probably get into the 70th week of Daniel, because I promised you that last week. So back on the other side of the break.
RepublicBroadcasting.org. Smash that donate button like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? What are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email proudsouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Spiritual health and wellness on your Wednesday night broadcast, Wednesday before Thanksgiving on In Plain Sight. And talking about this male and female being equal, this is in the Lord, in Christ. In other words, all genders, you know, which there's only two, male and female, just to clarify, male, female, Jew, Greek, slave, master, regardless of your position in life, you can come to Christ equally. But your function in life is not equal. There is a hierarchy. So Galatians 3, let's start with verse 26 and go to 29. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. So there we see the context of this is in Christ, verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed, according and heirs according to the promise. This passage is clearly stating that in Christ, regardless of your status in life, you can come equally and receive forgiveness. But we read throughout the New Testament that there are different roles for genders, ethnicities, and your social and economic position in life. So you cannot take this, these verses in Galatians 3, and you cannot deconstruct, for example, gender. Because even though male and female may come to Christ equally, and they're one in Christ, the New Testament is filled with laws that give positions and roles to male and female. For example, 1 Corinthians 14, the female is not to speak in the meeting of the church. She's to be subject to her husband. This is echoed also in 2 Timothy 2. that females are not to usurp authority over males and teach them, right? That's not to be. So there's a specific role for the genders. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 7, a very famous passage that deals with marriage, but it deals with many other things. It talks about the roles that you've been called into, whether you're a slave or a master. Do not change those roles. Submit. So Christians who happen to be slaves at that time were to submit to their masters as if they're serving Christ. Masters would treat their slaves well. So, you know, Paul could very easily have said, well, there's no slave or free. Just do whatever you want. Totally disconnect that. But he didn't, right? Because even though all are free to come to Christ equally, there's still roles that people play. And this goes with ethnicity as well. In the Galatians 3, verse 28 passage, there's neither Jew nor Greek. However, we see in the book of Philemon, Paul writes this letter to a Christian named Philemon who owns property and slaves and who has a church in his house. One of Philemon's slaves named Onesimus has ran away. And Onesimus, the runaway slave, encountered the Apostle Paul. Paul shared the gospel with him. He was converted. And now Paul is sending this letter to Philemon stating, you know, Onesimus is returning to you to submit as a slave. And you should show kindness to him. Paul's basically making the case in the letter to Philemon that you should accept him and show kindness, not only because he's a Christian, but because he is of your flesh. So Onesimus was a Greek. Onesimus and Philemon were both Greeks. And so Paul is making the case that ethnic preference should be shown. It would be very easy for Paul to just say, well, look, I've already written, you know, there's no slave or free in Christ. So, Philemon is just not a slave anymore. This isn't even a thing. But he didn't, because the roles that people serve in this life are God ordained. There's a hierarchy. So similarly, with male and female, there is a hierarchy. The male rules over the female. And this happens within and without the Christian paradigm. Now, it's only been in the last probably 70 to 80 years that this has been denigrated. And with the feminist movement, we have females and children ruling over men only because of the power of the system. But if this system were to collapse and we go back to the way things were for thousands of years, the only thing standing between that female and those children, you know, if you had a foreign tribe invading, was the sword of the husband. All right, we're going to get back into this even more and go to the 17th week of Daniel after the break with your calls.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. Ease Off LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after exercise. It's amazing, and I ordered my second bottle. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. So far, a great product is what it claims to be. Great product. A few days in, and I could feel a difference for certain. Not checking medical stats yet. I know this is really working by how I feel. We'll continue to take this product. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To learn more about this amazing breakthrough, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Back to Spiritual Health and Wellness on Endpoint Site. Mike, I'm getting a little static. Let me know if I'm not coming through clear. I hear static. We were just talking about the roles of male and female. Mike says it's all clear. Static is gone. We're good. The roles of male and female, and how you can't use Galatians 3 in the last few verses to deconstruct male and female any more than you can use it to deconstruct your position in life or ethnicity. I think we made that point quite clear in the last segment. So thus, there's neither Jew nor Greek. So there's still, in Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek. Any ethnicity can come to Christ, but there are still roles for the ethnicities to play. And they still have a hierarchy status. You see this played out in history as European cultures and even, you know, and historically seem to be more dominant, you know, with colonialization, with the rise in technology that seems to center around the Germans. Later on, you know, the Asian cultures would rise to prominence, but yet the cultures next to the equators, the brown people, South America and Africa, seem to be still living in the Stone Age, and this has been the case for thousands of years of human history. So even though all may come to Christ equally, they're not all equal in their performance. They're certainly not all equal in the hierarchy that God has established with humankind. And this goes to show also with Greek and Jew. Now, this is going to get us into the 70th week of Daniel. There still is a distinction between biblical Israel and non-biblical Israel, what some would call the Gentiles. All right. So just to make clear, the secular state of Israel that is in the news today, genociding children in Palestine, I do not believe that these people can make a claim genetically to the biblical Israel. Now, nor do I believe that the diaspora of Jews, people that call themselves Jews, like your Victoria Nuland, Anthony Blinken, Myotokos, who I disaffectionately call myocarditis, these, you know, Soros, you just name them, the Jews that are in power today, I don't know for sure that they can make a claim to the biblical Israel genetically. But what God has promised in Romans 9, 10, and 11 is that there is a remnant of biblical Israel that he has preserved, even amidst this synagogue of Satan that we see ruling over us now. If you read Romans 9, 10, and 11, chapter 9 makes the case for election. Romans chapter 9 uses an example of personal election in the lives of Jacob and Esau. And the Apostle Paul is using that to demonstrate national election of biblical Israel. Jacob I have loved, Esau I have hated. Romans chapter 9, if you read that. And so he's making the case that in the same way that he elects people individually, he also elects nations, and he elected the nation of biblical Israel, and that they are not cast away. Romans 10 outlines how biblical Israel, the remnant, can come to Christ. And that is in Romans 10, verses 9 through 10. That if thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. He's speaking specifically to the remnant of biblical Israel, in that if they will confess the Lord Jesus Christ, first of all, believe in their hearts, which leads to justification. This is also an application that can be made to anyone, even though it's addressed to Israel. Belief and justification comes through the heart, in the heart, through faith. It's by grace through faith that you're saved, no works. So the remnant of Israel must first be converted in their hearts, right? Then an outpouring of that, or the result of that turning of the heart, is going to be a verbal confession of Christ. And that will be in the last days, what would be called the tribulation, right? The last 3.5 years of God's judgment on this earth to turn the remnant of Israel to him. And then we go to Romans chapter 11, and it talks specifically about this remnant, right? This is a portion of biblical Israel, not the synagogue of Satan or the fake Jews that we see today, but this remnant that has been preserved by God, has been elected, and that will turn to him in the last. Romans chapter 11, starting with verse 1, Paul writes, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid, for I am also an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. What ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, which is Elijah, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. Paul is referring back to the life of Elijah at the time when all of Israel under Ahab and Jezebel turned to the worship of the false demonic god Baal. And Elijah is thinking that he's the only one left that's not been corrupted. But verse 4 But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so, at this present time, also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. So God is telling Paul, it looks like all of it, all of Israel, all of biblical Israel has rejected Christ and have went the way of Baal. But God, even to that present time, and even to this present time, has preserved an elect remnant that have not bowed the knee to Baal, that have not succumbed. So this is teaching that there is a remnant of biblical Israel, of Israelites that can trace their lineage to biblical Israel, that are in existence today and will be in existence indefinitely in the future until Christ comes. We see this in the book of Revelation with the 144,000 witnesses, and that's Revelation 7, of each tribe of Israel that God has preserved and put his mark in their foreheads. They'll be evangelists and they'll be preserved. They will not be corrupted by the current beast system. So, once again, just to clarify, the secular state of Israel that was established through the Balfour Declaration and the UN Declaration of 1947 and the Israel that did the Six-Day War, the Jews that did the USS Liberty that attacked it, and the diaspora Jews that are prominent in our politics, banking, and media, these are fake Jews. They're those that say they're Jews, but they're not. They're the synagogue of Satan, Revelation 2:9 and 3:9. But God, according to the Apostle Paul in Romans 7, God has reserved a remnant, an underground Israel, if you will, true Israel that can trace the lineage back to the Bible, that have not bowed the knee to Baal. This gets us into Daniel's 70th week, if you can follow along. This is outlined in Daniel 12, right? So this remnant of Israel will be brought to Christ through the Great Tribulation. The Great Tribulation meaning the last 7 years of human history, during which God will pour his judgment out on the earth and will turn the remnant of Israel to himself. And all those that are not the remnant of Israel, he will destroy. Destroy them. This is highlighted in Zechariah 13, how two-thirds of them will be destroyed. They will not make it through. The fake Jews, the fake Israel will be destroyed. God has decreed that he will pour his judgment out upon them. In Daniel 12, starting with verse 1, at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be written in the book of life. The angel, given the revelation here in Daniel 12, is talking to Daniel. And he's talking about his people, the people of biblical Israel, that Michael the archangel will stand for them in this time of great tribulation. You back up a few chapters in Daniel 9, and Daniel is given further revelation that there are 70 weeks decreed upon his people of Israel. Now, week is not the week that we think of it, but it's a measurement of sevens. So you take the chapter in its context and you see that there are 490 years decreed upon the nation of Israel, right? That's the 77. 70 times 7 is 490. And the whole judgment of the Babylonian captivity was because Israel failed to recognize the land Sabbath every 7 years. They didn't let the land rest. They farmed it. And so, according to Jeremiah, they were decreed to be in captivity for 70 years.
Right.
And the purpose of punishing them for violating the land Sabbath. Daniel realized at the end of the 70 years of captivity that they were at the end, and so he was praying, and he thought that the kingdom would be established then. The angel came to him and said, no, it's not 70 years, it's 490 years, basically, of which Israel will be punished. And there's a segment of 7 years that were left off in this between the coming of the Messiah, the first coming, which was the birth of Christ, and the final judgment. The 70th week of Daniel, or the 70th measure of sevens, 7 years, that would be decreed upon biblical Israel. And you get into Daniel 12, and you see the purpose of this, one of the purposes of which is to break the power of the holy people, holy meaning separate and distinct. Holy does not necessarily always represent sinlessness, but just separation. So what God is saying is that there were 490 years declared upon Israel. 483 of them have already been accomplished. And there is a last chunk of 7 years that has yet to be accomplished. The purpose of these 7 years, this great tribulation, this time of trouble, as we read in Daniel 12, verses 1 through 2, this time of trouble, it's never been since there was a nation. And this is all outlined in Revelation and the judgments that happen on the earth. So we get into the 70th year, and we find out that during this time there will be a temple established, which is the third temple, and that during this period, the Antichrist will take away the sacrifice. He will take away the veil of sacrifice. Daniel 12, verse 11. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh the desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. So there's a specific time given, right? I'm mentioning this because what this is saying is that there is a time in the future when there will be a temple established. Where there will be a temple established where the daily sacrifice is taken away for 1,290 days. That's just a little over 3.5 years. All right, Mark 17 muscles. I'm getting a lot of static here, too. Mark, am I coming through at all?
Clear.
All right, Mike says I'm good now. All right, and I don't hear the static anymore. Let me just recap, because there was a lot of static in my explanation. Daniel is laying out the case in Daniels 9, 10, 11, and 12, that there will be a time of trouble in the future. There's 70 weeks determined on Israel, 490 years. 483 of them are past, and there are 7 years in the future where the daily sacrifice in the third temple will be taken away for 1,290 days. That's just a little over 3.5 years. This was not accomplished in 70 AD. When the Romans destroyed Jerusalem in 70 AD, the temple was destroyed and the sacrifice was taken away for thousands of years, up until this day, because there's not a temple there now. So the prophecy in Daniel 12 is talking about a future time of 1,290 days, 3.5 years, when the sacrifice is taken away. This correlates to the Great Tribulation. This is future. This has not been. Yeah, that kind of thing. Up on the break now, back on the other side with some good Frederick Handel to get you into Thanksgiving.
To my soul,
where I cannot hide.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Close the show out with some George Frideric Handel. I know that my Redeemer liveth from Messiah. Hope you all have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Enjoy time with your family. God bless you and stay classy.
Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle.